GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Team, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out what your home is worth online instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com. This is the George Hilrich Tyler Show. The Beastie Boys sang, "You've Got to Fight for Your Right to Party." The guy behind the bulletproof glass over in Spacious Studio 7A this morning proves that sometimes you got to fight to have your right to be a political party in the state. I mean, you wondered where I was going with that, weren't you, Harrison?
I thought it was a great lead in, Rick.
George, our guest behind the BPG at SS7A is Harrison Kemp of the Maine Libertarian Party. Had a chance to have him on the phone before. Now we got him in our studio this morning for some Q&A on GHRT.
Yeah, good morning, Harrison. Good to have you in the studio and talking to you. You've had some good news. You're officially now a permanent party in Maine. Tell me what that means.
Yeah, so what that means is now we have the same legal rights and requirements as the Republicans, Democrats, and Green Independent Party. For years and years, they were able to put candidates up, run candidates, and their petition requirements were half of what ours were. They were able to just sign their paper and get a presidential candidate on the ballot, whereas we'd have to spend $50,000 to $60,000 plus countless hours going out to collect petitions to get our candidate on the ballot. So we've earned those rights now, and it means that we're able to start really trying to run candidates and make more change legislatively.
Take us back to 2018 when the rules changed, the goalpost moved, the chains weren't moving.
Yeah, so we used to have over 6,000 registered libertarians in the state of Maine, and at the time that was more than enough to have permanent party status. The Republicans and Democrats followed up in their usual way of making the threshold higher. They moved it from 5,000 to 10,000 and effectively stripped us not only of our party status, but stripped all of our voters of their right to affiliate with the Libertarian Party. I mean, the First Amendment is very clear. You have the right to freedom of speech, right to association. And one of the biggest ways that you can associate is through a political party, a church, some other type of activist group. And it was over 6,000 Mainers had that right stripped from them. In 2020, we launched a lawsuit and we were able to come out more or less victorious on that, where we got a federal judge to say that the state of Maine had not only violated the law, but what they did was flat out unconstitutional. And he put in a couple of stipulations on the state of Maine and gave us ballot access for last season, the 2022 season. With that, though, we still had a lot of work to do because the limit was still 10,000. So with the help of Eric Brakey, John Andrews, Amy Rader, we were able to put together a bill that brought that threshold back down to 5,000. And earlier this year, in June or July, that was signed into law and went through pretty much unanimously through the House and the Senate. So we've come a long way in the last few years, and now we have over 5,000 registered libertarians in Maine, and we are on the path to doubling that number and tripling that number and continuing to grow and make a difference.
Do you have any candidates that we can name? You mentioned Brakey. We often refer to Brakey as Unitarian-like. He often voted what I would say are Unitarian principles, but still remained a member of the other parties.
Yeah, Eric Brakey, unfortunately, is going to be moving to New Hampshire, yeah. And he'll be working with the Free State Project there, helping them do the good work that they do. Eric will forever have a place in our heart as the Libertarian Party of Maine. You know, he was a member with us for a long time, even though he wasn't a registered voter. And we just appreciate everything he's done, whether it's constitutional carry, the right to cannabis. He's just done so much good stuff in his time. But yeah, it's unfortunate we're losing him.
Why did they move the goalpost? Was there any, let me rephrase the question. Hang on, I got to be careful as I say it. What good reason did they give for moving the goalpost?
So their reasoning was that they wanted to prevent frivolous candidates from making the ballot. In their mind, 5,000 was too easy. You know, we could have 50 different political parties, and to them, that was a bad thing. One of the most common objections that I heard while we were putting our legislation forward was that people like the status quo. Yeah. And, you know, it's always people in power who like the status quo. It's not your listeners. It's not the voters. It's the people who make the status quo that like the status quo. And that's why they kicked us off, because they didn't want the challenge. but they're tired of getting sued. They're tired of being made to look like what they are in the papers. So finally, they caved and they gave us our right to associate. And, you know, it's going to be a few years before we're able to make any real political change in the sense of getting a governor elected or having a presidential candidate get electoral votes. But we are starting the process. And as far as other candidates go, you know, we're in the process of finding city council candidates, state house candidates, state senate candidates. So if you're someone who considers yourself a libertarian, register libertarian, reach out to us, ask us how we can help you run for office and make a difference in your local area.
We often have people say, and I've said it myself at times, that was the libertarian side of me. when I agree with something that the two parties don't agree with. The Libertarian Party has always taken a live and let live approach to life and free markets and all of that. It doesn't always fit in with the projects going on with the Republicans and Democrats. Is this libertarian side of this just trying to be the best of both worlds?
No, absolutely not. Libertarians are not trying to be Republicans. We're not trying to be Democrats. We have our own unique philosophy and way of looking at the world. And that philosophy, it's so much different than what you will get if you ask a Republican or a Democrat to explain why they want something, why they're pushing for a bill. They might use words like freedom, but when you really push them on it, it's because it's giving the state more control. You know, very infrequently do we see real bills come out of the state house that actually give people more autonomy, give people more control over their life. And at the end of the day, the real question you have to ask yourself is, do you trust people to run their own life or do you trust people to run your life for you? That's really the system we have now. Those are the two options. Is you can go with the duopoly, the two-party system that has put us into the position we're in now, where questions like should you have the right to abortion or not are just very commonplace. And part of the situation that we face now, I think, is the government has grown so big and it's entangled in so much of our lives that when we start talking about, well, should the government tax this? Should there be new regulation on that? We don't even put it through the framework anymore of what does the Constitution say? What powers does the Constitution give the government? We just look at it as, well, what do people think? What do people want? And when you just look at it, like what do focus groups want and what do people in power want? You come out with a very different answer than if you ask the guy on the street what he wants. How do you best feed your family and how do you best prepare for life and retirement and put yourself in a position to succeed and have a happy life? And you find out that when you actually talk to folks about the problems they're facing, many of them are from the government. They're actions caused by the government that led to their extenuating circumstances. You know, unfortunately, one thing about the abortion debate that seems to get left out these days is we have a really bad problem in the state with our foster care system. And that's the other flip side of it. And I don't like the idea that, you know, some people go around saying, well, we have too many people in foster care, therefore it should be okay to, you know, have abortions for that reason. And they never even address the underlying issue of our foster care system has so many extra kids in it that don't have a place to go that, you know, we have to ask ourselves, you know, because when we have a child, you're not saving a kid from the depths of hell. Like that kid is, they don't exist until you bring them into the world. So we're not doing our children a favor by bringing them into the world necessarily. You know, we do ourselves a favor by bringing children into the world and having a child. But I can understand why a 20-year-old woman is looking at the world today that the duopoly has created with the housing market that is all over the place, with inflation that makes you cry. Why would someone want to have a child these days? And so I think if we were to have a better economy, if we were to have a government that's less intrusive overall, people's state of living would be so much higher that these questions, they wouldn't even matter anymore.
We're talking with the chair of the Libertarian Party of Maine, Harrison Kemp, in our studio as the party earns permanent status in our state. Q&A on the Bangor's News Talk Station, VOM. Explain to me, if you would, how Democrats would not look at the success of your party and say, you're splintering the Republican Party and just making it easier for us to win big offices.
Well, I would laugh at them because most of the stuff we've done in the state, people would consider left. And a big part of the reason for that is that's who has the power and who we can work with at the moment to get our legislative stuff done. A few years ago, we were part of the movement to ban no-knock warrants here in the state. And I think that was the first time I came on your show years ago, actually. And that was something where, yes, we had a couple of Republicans who signed on to the bill, but it was mostly a leftist idea. So when lefties tell me that, oh, we're just splintering the Republican Party, I say, okay, good. Keep thinking that. I hope you do. And on election day, when you get a surprise, I'll be happy.
America is in a period of time. We're almost always in some kind of war. We're in a couple right now, more or less. We're looking at Ukraine. We're looking at the terrible problems in the Middle East. And I know that the libertarians like non-intervention, but how would you propose that we stay out of these wars?
Well, to preface this, I'm a veteran. I've been to Afghanistan. I've been to Africa. So I've seen what our interventions actually do, both negatively and positively. Africa was certainly an area where our intervention, at least at that moment, was a positive, building roads and bridges to help people get from their little villages to the Ebola clinics. That is the type of intervention and humanitarianism that libertarians would support. We wouldn't be necessarily excited to send our military all around the world. But if it's for missions like that, where it's to help folks rather than invade a country, we are much more on board with those types of interventions. Now, what you're really asking about is, do we want to go to war? Do we think it's appropriate to steal money from Americans, to send young American men and women overseas to die for people who are not Americans? That is really the root of the question here. At the end of the day, libertarians believe in non-interventionism because it has the best outcomes. And there are libertarians who will tell you that even if it didn't have the best outcomes, it's so morally superior that we should do it anyway. But I'd like to focus on the consequentialist argument. And I'd like to bring it all the way back to when I was a kid in 2001 when the towers fell. And, obviously we don't have to believe everything that Saddam Hussein said, but he told us very clearly why he was launching a war against America. And it had nothing to do with apple pie, bell bottoms, or freedom. It had everything to do with the fact that we were murdering innocent Muslims in his countries. And that's why they went to war with us. It was because we were sanctioning them. We were making life impossible in their region, and we were murdering innocent people. And so the blowback of that is that not only did our towers fall and we lost 3,000 innocent people that day, but then we went to war and we murdered about 500,000 innocent people who just continue to create more insurgents that want to fight. Because if someone invades America and they kill your brother, well, you're not going to go, oh, obviously they're right. I should adopt their way of living. No, you're going to pick up a gun and you're going to fight. So when we look at the argument of should we intervene or not, we have to always ask, what is the blowback going to be? And is the long run blowback going to benefit America, or is it going to put us in a worse position than we are now? And we've seen from all of the interventions that we've had in my lifetime and well beyond, that when we get involved in the geopolitics of other countries and we tell them they can't invade or they have to do this or that, it ends up costing us lives and money.
Got about a minute left. Quick take on the Bellows Trump sitch.
I think it's really ironic that at the same exact time that they had to concede that we are now officially a party, they are reducing the Republicans' rights to have who they want on the ballot. And look, I am not a Trump fan. I think he has many issues that, he's bad on, whether it was the economy and the massive spending that he did. He spent more money in increased our national debt in 4 years than Obama did in 8. So if Obama's a socialist, what is Trump? He also went after the bump stocks. He proved that the Second Amendment doesn't mean anything. So I have problems with Donald Trump, but none of that means that he shouldn't be on the ballot in my mind. Now, if you were going to say he shouldn't be on the ballot, it should be because of the coronavirus stuff that he did. It should have nothing to do with the insurrection that they claim he did. Because after all, being an insurrectionist is a crime. You have to be found guilty in a court of law. And obviously he wasn't. So I just think it's very obvious that the state is trying to further its own self-interest and trying to really hammer down on the voices of Mainers and make it so that we have to live with the system they give us. And if you want to change it, go to lpme.org, learn how to register libertarian, and make a difference today.
GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Team, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out what your home is worth online instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com.